I'm going to read three scriptures this morning all together, and they're listed in your bulletin along with the pages. And the first one is Romans 15:13 from the New Revised Standard Version. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7, New Revised Standard Version. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Colossians 3:23, New Revised Standard Version. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord and not for your masters. I'm sorry, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Good morning. Today is the Sunday set aside by the United Methodist Church to recognize the laity in our church. The choir members, the bell choir members, the response band, the organist, the church school leader, teachers, the committee members, the ushers, the greeters, all of you here and all of those who can't be here today. Methodism has a long history of celebrating and recognizing the laity and their ministry. In the early days of American Methodism, the laity served and maintained the congregations between the visits of the circuit riders. Today, lay people are the front line of the daily ministry at the church, in the home, and in the community. Laity Sunday is a time to recognize the work and mission of all laity, not only within the walls of the church, but in our everyday lives. We have a place for everyone in our church. It takes all of us, laity and clergy, to make church happen. Jesus modeled the process in Mark 10:45. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. In the actions of Jesus, we see how to be compassionate. John Wesley said, one of the principal rules of religion is to lose no occasion of serving God. And since he is invisible to our eyes, we are to serve him in our neighbor, which he receives as if done to himself in person, standing visibly before us. Last week, Pastor Kim brought us a message about the joy of living, the joy of loving, and the joy of giving. John Zeeb, the chairman of the stewardship drive, described your pledges as building blocks of our church's foundation. Today, I will share about the part of stewardship that does the work of the church, the joy of serving our Lord. I want to let you in on a little secret. I think it's fun to serve God. Now, I'm not saying it isn't hard to serve him. Sometimes it's very challenging. There are times when it's stressful. But I'm saying that I derive great joy from it. And by serving God, I mean being used by God in any way that he would see fit to use me. It's a great privilege to be called by God and to be able to represent him. Now, joy is tuning in to what God is doing around you, seeing the world through his eyes, picking up on his delight in us as his children. Joy is a stable and ever-present attitude in the midst of life. It's more than laughter. It's more than happiness. Anyone can find happiness for a while. Happiness depends on what is happening around you and to you. Joy is different. Joy goes deeper. As the choir sang in their anthem last week, I have joy like a fountain in my soul. Joy is when your whole being sings because you have caught a glimpse of God at work. Joy can creep up on you and surprise you in unexpected places. Because God loves us, he wants us to be joyful. Joy is a critical fruit for us to have in our character because it serves as an antidote to all the cynicism and despair that surround us on a daily basis. So if you too have discovered this joy in serving, then you know what I'm talking about. When you serve Him, you sense His blessing on you. There are so many people in this church who have that joy in serving the Lord. Let me tell you about a few of them. A couple of weeks ago, since Dave and I were traveling, we would be away for a couple of Sundays. I asked Mary Ellen to be the welcomer on one of those days. She said, sure. Then the person who was going to be the liturgist was going on vacation too. So I asked Mary Ellen if she could be the liturgist. What did she say? Sure. Then Pastor Kim needed someone to assist him in welcoming the new members. So I asked Mary Ellen, what did she say?
Sure.
She did. All done with joy. Gary is another one who serves with joy. He created the Helping Hands Ministry in this church to help those who need extra help in building steps, putting up a gate, installing a fan, replacing light bulbs. He and his team do this to help others every weekend. Lynn is another one who serves with joy. Whether she's telling Bible stories with balloons for children's ministry, or telling us about dining with dollars, or sharing an idea on how to serve others with the missions committee, and then taking the idea to fruition, you can just hear the joy in her voice as she serves the Lord. And this is only a few of the many members who serve where we can see them. There are also many who quietly serve, but still have that joy in their soul. Who do you think prepares the coffee you drink on the patio after church every Sunday? That's Kevin. Who do you think washes the dishes after luncheons, breakfast, or dinners? That's Sue. She even has a pair of tennis she calls her dishwashing shoes. Who do you think goes about quietly doing whatever needs to be done? That's Lisa. And there are so many more of you here. Gandhi, who was a leader of the nonviolent Indian independence movement against British rule, said this about serving with joy. One must lose himself in service, but one must make sure this service comes from pure joy, from the overflow of one's own cup. Service which is rendered without joy helps neither the servant nor the served. This is a colossal mistake. In such a case, both people suffer. Service must come out of joy. That's true pleasure, that's love. All other pleasures and possessions pale into nothingness before service which is rendered in a spirit of joy. To serve the Lord with joy, the first thing we need is a wholehearted commitment to please God. In Joshua 24:15, we read, now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The second thing we need is a commitment to serve. In Luke 4:8, we read, Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. The choice to serve is rooted in a word called commitment. Two questions could be thrown out. Whom do you serve? And whom are you committed to? People today say they just do not commit to anything, but in reality they do. I see people commit to playing sports. I see people commit to watching sports and supporting their favorite teams. I see people commit to their jobs. I see people commit to their houses. I see people commit to the pursuit of money. I see people commit to watching their favorite TV shows. I see people commit to political parties. I see people commit to certain kinds of foods. I see people commit to racing cars, riding horses, camping. So, we can also commit to serving God, doing things that matter to our Lord. There are many committees and ways to serve in our church. You will see some of them on the pledge card that you received in the mail last week. In addition to filling in your pledge, there are many ways to serve God and the church listed on that card. On the front of the card are ways to volunteer your services, like helping with the children or the youth, working with missions, volunteering in the office, or serving with Hunger Ministry and many others. On the back of the card is a list of the committees we have in the church, like Christian education, church and society, missions, faith and fellowship, finance, or evangelism and discipline, and some others. Maybe you have a different gift that is not listed on this card, and you would like to share it with the church. Volunteer that information on your pledge card, or tell Pastor Kim or the office or me, and we will find a place for you. The pledge cards will be turned in next Sunday at Commitment Sunday. As you think and pray about what you have to offer your church, remember this verse in 1 Peter 4:10. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Think of the little boy who shared his 5 loaves and 2 fish with Jesus, who took the boy's meal and fed thousands with it. The truth is, like that little boy, all followers of Jesus, all of us, have something to offer. God gives each of us a spiritual gift. When we offer that gift for his use, he does more with it than we could ever imagine. In Ephesians 3:20, we read, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine." Just like feeding 5 loaves and 2 fish to thousands of people. A spiritual gift is an ability God gives to enable us to serve others. Spiritual gifts are given by God to unify, to teach us about Jesus, and to help us mature together. How do you discover your spiritual gift? Ask yourself these 3 questions. What am I passionate about? What moves my heart? What do I enjoy doing? Your gift may lend itself to many different areas of service. Use it in one area for a while and then in another. That's okay. God will always use our time serving his people to affect the lives and teach us. In Isaiah 6:8, we read, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" We all have a different calling, and all of us are called. We need to have hearts that are set ablaze and burn with the passion for serving God and serving others. Then we can find fulfillment and joy in our lives. Then we can make a difference for all eternity. So find a place to use your spiritual gift and see how God uses what you have to do amazing things. Don't wait to be asked. Just jump in and do it. Mother Teresa told us that prayer in action is love, and love in action is service. Try to give unconditionally whatever a person needs in this moment. The point is to do something, however small, and show you care through your actions by giving your time. We are all God's children, so it is important to share his gifts. Do not worry about why the problems exist in the world. Just respond to people's needs. We feel what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean, but that ocean would be less without that help. When Bob Nelson led a team of youth and adults from this church on a mission trip to Gulfport, Mississippi, to assist those people who suffered the destruction of Hurricane Katrina, the oldest member of our group was Bob Fitch at over 80 years old, and he was one of the hardest workers. He was an example of the servant that Rick Warren of Saddleback Church was talking about when he said, "Faithful servants never retire. You can retire from your career, but you will never retire from serving God. We have a place for you, whatever your age. Join us in our Faith in Action Day on November 10th to see what we can all accomplish in one day." Think about this. What if our church were filled with people just like you? What if everyone else at First United Methodist Church of Riverside were exactly like you? Would we be a Bible-studying church, a church that worships the Lord, a church that demonstrates God's love, a church that serves the Lord with joy, a church that's filled every Sunday? It's a convicting thought. Be encouraged to examine your Christian life today and ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you can serve with joy, so that together as a church, we may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So today, lean into God and step forward in joy. Let the joy of serving God be your strength this day and every day. Amen.